Narvaez Insurance Services brings you 40 years of combined experience to protect small businesses. As an independent brokerage, Narvaez Insurance Services selects the most appropriate coverage for the best value for any insurance need from different insurance carriers. Business liability, workers' comp, umbrella policies for maximum protection, and of course, auto, home, renter's insurance. Also offering DMV services for your title transfers and renewing registration. With Narvaez Insurance Services, you can avoid the long lines at the DMV. Contact Narvaez Insurance Services for a competitive quote by calling 707-927-3204. Give Bernie Narvaez a call at 707-927-3204.
Morning, Napa Valley. Welcome to All Things Napa, the show designed to promote local businesses by letting you, the audience, get to know our business guests on a personal and a professional level. I am your host of All Things Napa, Lee W. Miller. You can always reach out to me at leewmiller@gmail.com. I welcome your feedback and suggestions for other guests. Speaking of guests, we have two lovely ladies in studio right now. We are going to be talking to Christine McMillan from CM. Get that, Christine McMillan and the CM. I wonder if there's any relationship between those. Okay, so Christine McMillan from CM Destinations and Dr. Julie Mazzi, a naturopathic doctor. So that should be an interesting show. You know, I've been promoting an event for a month or so, and I am happy to report that last night's Napa Business Advantage Spring Mixer at Gabrielle Collection Taste Plus was a rousing success. We successfully raised $1,200 for Expressions of Hope. That's the nonprofit that we selected. Not too shabby for 16 business owners that are busy with our careers. That's what makes Napa Business Advantage, a business referral group, different from any other business referral group in town. We love to give back to our community, and we'd love to have you at our next event. So details to follow whenever that's going to be, probably late summer. I'm also obviously have been promoting for a couple of months the Zero Prostate Cancer Fundraiser, not zero prostates. we do need our prostates, man. So yeah, that's going to be a great event, and Christine's going to be talking a little bit more about that as we get to know her. So looking forward to that. All right, let's get into the talking with Dr. Julie Mazzi. But first, let's do our Napa nugget. You know, in the category of they don't build them like they used to, did you know that there are more than 300 stone arch bridges in Napa Valley? I bet you didn't know that.
Stone arch bridges. Bridges made of stone.
Yeah, real close to the mic. Yeah, stone arch bridges in Napa Valley.
Did not know that.
I know. That's why it's a Napa
now I'm
nugget.
Be looking for them.
And probably a lot of them are up in the hills, and you know you'll never see them.
300. We got to find one or two of them.
Exactly. Well, one of them is probably the not the Oak Knoll crossing, the crossing up. I can't know all the crossings. I don't ever remember the names of them.
Yeah, Bill.
Now there's not one there, but yeah, there's a couple up valley that the river and the trail. So
the Oak Knoll Crossway, when you're that little tiny bridge you go over,
yeah,
you're almost to Silverado Trail.
So it was I should have pretended like I knew what I was talking about, so I did guess correctly.
Yeah, Oak Knoll.
Yeah. That's what I meant.
Slow down because it's so skinny, you can barely get the cars through.
Right.
That must be one of them.
That is one of them. Now, of course, most of them are not that large, but
yeah.
I'm guessing. I don't know where all of them are. So
everybody call into the show and let us know where you found one.
Yeah. Except we don't take calls. So.
Oh, wait, there's no phone in here.
Yeah. Email LeeWMiller@gmail.com and tell us where all those stone arch bridges are.
And then your phone rings.
And then my phone rings.
That's awesome.
And I thought for sure I'd turn that down. All right, let's talk to Dr. Julie Mazzi, a naturopathic medical professional, not an MD, but you are a doctor, right?
Yes.
Welcome to the show.
An ND, naturopathic doctor.
Oh, ND. Oh, okay. It's kind of a little alphabet soup kind of thing there. So I did not know that. See, we're learning things already, and we haven't but barely begun this wonderful interview. So, Julie, mind if I call you Julie as opposed to
absolutely.
Dr. Mazzi?
Dr. Julie.
Yeah. Mayor Jill, Dr. Julie, Realtor Lee.
I don't have one.
So tell us a little bit about naturopathic medicine.
Yeah. So naturopathic medicine is an integrative medicine. It's a system of medicine that combines ancient, time-honored traditions with modern science. The focus is on comprehensive diagnosis and holistic treatment with proactive prevention. Naturopathy uses the least invasive and most natural treatments to help restore balance and health to the body. It's a form of primary care, and naturopathic medicine is the science, practice, and art of diagnosing, treating, and preventing diseases of the human body and mind.
Wow. Okay. that sums it up. So what are some of the things that you can't... Well, first of all, let's get back to you, because the whole idea of this show is we want to have people learn something, but partly we want them to get to know you on a personal and professional basis. So they go, oh, yeah, no, I feel comfortable. I think I'm going to give her a call. So tell us a little bit about your background and your affinity to Napa. You are a Napa local, but fairly new, correct?
Yes. I just relocated here from Santa Cruz, and I practiced there. I co-owned a huge holistic health center called Thrive Natural Medicine, which still exists. And I moved to Napa in August and have been practicing since September. I went to school in Portland, Oregon at the National University of Natural Medicine. My training is really similar to that of a medical doctor. So, you know, 4 years of pre-med, 4 years of medical school, and it's all the same advanced sciences, diagnostic techniques, laboratories, imaging, and pharmaceutical medicine. And then in addition to all the medical doctors learn, we have about 2 years more curriculum packed into our education where we learn all the natural treatment modalities, such as nutrition, nutraceutical medicines like vitamins, minerals, amino acids, herbal medicines, homeopathy, and a multitude of smaller holistic therapies as well. I got into naturopathy because in my 20s, I had a boyfriend with a terminal illness, cystic fibrosis. And despite his outliving everyone's expectations, I just kind of was watching the whole pharmaceutical medicine, conventional medicine model kind of kill him slowly. And I started studying and looking at various types of therapies to help him. And he received a lot of help from that. So that was kind of how my path was laid out for me in terms of discovering this amazing form of medicine. And it's been around a lot longer than allopathy, which is conventional medicine.
I've never even heard that word.
No,
yeah.
I haven't either.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So one of the modalities that we utilize is called homeopathy. And homeopathy, the idea is like cures like. So, for instance, if someone were to have a fever, in homeopathy, we give them a very, very minute amount of something that also stimulates a fever, and the body will auto-correct itself. Allopathy is opposite treatment. So if someone has a fever, you give them something to lower the fever. Mm-hmm. So it's a very different way of thinking about things.
So you're leveraging the body's ability and powers to correct itself in many
absolutely.
Instances.
Absolutely. Everything that the body does is truly in an attempt to heal itself. So back to the fever metaphor, you know, the body is heating itself up to kill the bugs. So if there's an infection, we often will mount a fever, and that's the body's way of healing itself from the infection. So if we take something to reduce the fever, we actually allow the bugs to thrive. So it's not the best way to go about it, although it does treat the symptom of the fever.
Okay. We're talking to Dr. Julie Mazzi. That's M-A-Z-I. So you can find her if you've got questions. You can also email me at leewmiller@gmail.com, and I will put you in touch with Julie. That's what I do. So, Julie, what are some of the things that the common ailments that you treat?
I am a primary care provider and a general practitioner, so I'm kind of a Jill of all trades in terms of treatment and diseases and symptoms. You know, the ones that most commonly come into my practice are chronic fatigue, hormone imbalance, autoimmunity of all sorts, gut imbalances or issues, mood disturbances. Those are really, really common. Arthritis, body aches and pains. So my practice has a huge spectrum, and sometimes I get patients that are extremely healthy and just looking to optimize. And then I also get sort of medical mystery patients who haven't had their proper diagnosis. They don't know what's going on. And also patients that are on a slew of pharmaceuticals that just really want off. Naturopathic medicine has the best training for weaning off of pharmaceuticals, and there really isn't much literature out there about it. So we're able to kind of prioritize, like, what are the worst side effects, and let's talk about getting off that medication first and supporting them naturally so that, you know, they don't backslide in their health.
Sure.
Interesting. So what are some of the things that maybe not really a fit that you won't treat or can't treat?
Well, mostly emergency medicine. In the state of California, I'm not doing any surgery. We are trained in minor surgery in my education, but that's not something that I'm practicing now. Also, chiropractic medicine. We are trained as naturopaths in chiropractic medicine, but in the state of California, we're disallowed from doing grade 5 adjustments, which are like the true cavitations or cracking. So I don't practice that either. Otherwise, most health issues I'm very well versed in, and I get a lot of rare conditions.
Head scratchers.
Yep. So we're pretty good at those, and we learn about those like zebras in school.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So take us through Jill of all trades. Jack walks into your office and says, take us through that first appointment. Because mm-hmm. I don't know what Jack says, but right. He's got some ailment, and you can take a broad spectrum of what that first appointment mm-hmm. with you, consult consists of.
The first appointment is a free 15-minute consultation. I like to offer an opportunity to become acquainted with someone, make sure that it's a good fit for us to work together, a therapeutic fit. It's an opportunity for us to become acquainted, for me to get clear on their health concerns, their health goals, tell them about how I practice, make sure it does feel like a good fit. And if we choose to move forward in working together, then there may be some steps that we need to take to prepare for our initial visit.
What steps might those be?
Well, for instance, it just depends on the person, because every experience is unique. Every person is unique in what they're needing medically as well. So sometimes we'll be running labs first. For someone who hasn't had labs run in a really long time, we may want to run labs before we even meet and then go over them together. Otherwise, there is a pretty comprehensive questionnaire that people will fill out prior to their appointments. And if they've had labs run in the recent past, I'd like to look at those as well. I practice what is becoming known as functional medicine. So from a functional medicine standpoint, we're looking at lab work in terms of optimal ranges and not just normal ranges. So typically when you have your blood drawn, your labs come back and your value is compared to a reference range. And the reference range is, for the most part, based on a random sample of the US population and the average of that. So it's not necessarily a reflection of health, let alone optimal health.
Especially as the bar continues to get lower and lower on averages for the U.S. health population.
Exactly.
That's funny. My wife and I, and I can't remember who else we were talking to, somebody just 3 days ago, we were talking about those lab levels and the ranges, mm-hmm. and you articulated that perfectly as to average versus optimal.
So just because you're within the range doesn't mean you're healthy.
Yep, I'm good.
Or doesn't mean you're not deficient or excess.
Yeah, so. And with my cholesterol, if I'm at a 199, I'm high-fiving everybody on my LDLs because I'm under 200. But mm-hmm. that doesn't mean that I'm doing great. Now my wife's going to, she's going to listen to this and she's going to say, see, you even know.
Well, that those cholesterol ranges are an exception. Actually, those ranges were decided upon by the statin making companies. So they've lowered the limits for HDL, LDL, and total cholesterol because they want people to be on statins.
More people.
Yeah. The old cause and effect and mm-hmm. yin
so
and yang.
What is a healthy number for cholesterol?
Total cholesterol, I like to see less than 220.
Okay.
But the general is less than 200 or 199 or less. For HDL, I like to see it above a 60. Those are the good cholesterols. Mm-hmm. And for LDL, I like to see them less than 120. And the standard is less than 100.
Okay.
So there's a little bit more leeway there. All of the cholesterols are synthesized in the liver, and the liver is the body's filter. So oftentimes, if it's not a genetic liver issue of overproduction of cholesterol, it's an issue that the liver is congested or busy. Not necessarily that there's anything wrong with liver function, but that we are exposed to a multitude of toxins, both voluntarily introduced into the body and involuntarily introduced to the body, and that causes an overproduction of cholesterol.
Okay.
So you talked about statins. I know that anybody knows that there are certain foods that you can eat that will increase your cholesterol, and certainly avoiding those will result in a decrease of LDLs, but are there, in lieu of statins, specific foods that will actually contribute to lowering one's LDL?
Well, back to the liver, a lot of it has to do with the liver's production of cholesterol. So I look at it like the liver has a line of toxins waiting their turn to be filtered. And the liver will do kind of what we do when we have a line of work in front of us. It just speeds up and tries to get all of the work done faster. So in essence, it's producing cholesterol at a faster rate. So when we support the liver in its ability to detox more effectively, not only do we become less toxic, but our cholesterol synthesis slows down and the numbers will normalize. So a lot of it has to do with the toxicity of the liver. And that's actually more connected to food and the toxicity of the foods than it is about specific foods containing cholesterol. So there's a myth that foods that contain cholesterol become cholesterol in the body, and that's incorrect. Another thing that can influence cholesterol is fiber and transit time from eating to eliminating. So cholesterol should be bound up in the stools and eliminated by the body. And if for any reason the stools are hanging out a little too long in the colon, those cholesterols that should be eliminated become reabsorbed, and then they'll go into the overall number again. So those are the two main mechanisms that we're thinking about when we're treating high cholesterol.
So more fiber, more regular, less reabsorption of cholesterol.
Yes. Okay.
Thank you for summarizing that, Christine.
Look at me.
Wow. This is really, really interesting. And we've only got a couple of minutes left. So what are a couple of pearls of wisdom that are even half as cool and exciting as that information that you can leave us with?
Well, so the body has several mechanisms for detox. The liver is a huge part of that. And in naturopathic medicine, one of the things that they jokingly say that actually is very, very true is when in doubt, treat the liver, because toxicity actually creates symptoms and disease. Toxicity can also create inflammation, and inflammation is underlying all symptoms and disease. So when we're talking about the detox pathways of the body, there's two internally that don't have an exit route, but they utilize all of the exit routes. So the liver and the lymphatic system. And then the ones that have an exit route are basically the skin, the lungs, the urinary system, and the colon. So a lot of people tend to have one system that is stagnant. In other words, we tend to catch disease that's similar to this. Of course, we all catch disease in multitude of ways, but a lot of people tend toward an upper respiratory infection, or they tend toward some digestive issue or urinary tract infection or asthma, you know, skin conditions. So whatever the tendency is, that's the primary detox pathway that's becoming stagnant. So we always want to treat that pathway, but we want to make sure the other pathways are eliminating it efficiently.
Well. Yeah.
And so people are always wondering, well, why, when I have asthma, am I taking fiber? Oftentimes we want to make sure that everything is eliminating so that that pathway doesn't become stagnant anymore.
Hmm. And where the toxins come from? What are the toxins that we're talking about?
Oh, a multitude of toxins, environmental toxins. You know, we may be exposed to mold, heavy metals, you know, all of the chemicals and exhaust from cars, mm-hmm. you know, all of the different chemicals in our cleaning products and our facial products and our, you know, the things that we apply topically.
And the food because of fertilizer. And
exactly. Pesticides. You know, it's like the list goes on in our modern day world. And, you know, we may not be aware of those toxins, but they're still having an impact on our health.
So that's why organic is better, because there's less toxins in those foods.
Right. And GMOs basically kill off all of our probiotics. So Our probiotics are the front line of our immune system.
Got it. Okay.
Wow. This was a really interesting.
I'm healthier already.
I know. I think I'll go have some more probiotics, though.
Yeah, actually, the doctor just put me on those. So,
all right. Well, if you want to get in touch with Julie, go ahead and give your information.
Yes. So my office number is 707-401-2277. And you can also visit my website, which is Dr. Dr. Julie, J-U-L-I, Mazi, M-A-Z-I.com. DrJulieMazzi.com.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Julie. This was very interesting. I learned a lot, and I'm sure our listeners did.
Thanks for having me.
We will be right back after these messages.
What's happening, Napa Valley?
This Saturday at DeRosa Center for Contemporary Arts, it's In Conversation. Davina Semo and guest curator Amy Owen. Happening 3 to 5 p.m. Tickets, $10 general, $5 for members. Napa Sports Steakhouse and Sports Lounge with great deals all week. Monday, it's the $10 burger. Tuesday's Locals Night. Thirsty Thursday with 30% off all bottles of wine. Fish and Chips Friday and the best brunch, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Saturday and Sunday. Try the award-winning steak at Napa Sports Steakhouse and Sports Lounge. Jim Curry's tribute to John Denver coming up. A fundraiser for Congregation Beth Shalom's youth and education programs. Thursday, March 12th at the Jam Cellars Ballroom at Margaret Mondavi Theater. Tickets available at BlutoNapa.com. Jack's the Mule Lounge and Trade Brewing. A friendly vine spot. You can get 15% discounts at all three if you mention the Vine commercial. Want us to tell the wine country about your events? Go to 993thevine.com. Click on the contact page for advertising and marketing.
That's what's happening, Napa Valley. Updated every hour from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. For more information, click on what's happening at 993thevine.com.
Gates Estates Sotheby's International Realty has an amazing team of locally experienced and knowledgeable agents that exceed the high standards and qualifications necessary to assure the ultimate goal of assisting clients buying or selling homes throughout the entire Napa Valley and beyond. Whether now or sometime in the future, remember to consider Gates Estates Sotheby's International Realty, the luxury brand with the local focus that you deserve for any real estate related matters. Visit GatesEstatesSIR.com to connect when it makes sense for you, or call 707-944-0888. That's 707-944-0888. DRE number 01874685.
Narvaez Insurance Services brings you 40 years of combined experience to protect small businesses. As an independent brokerage, Narvaez Insurance Services selects the most appropriate coverage for the best value for any insurance need from different insurance carriers. Business liability, workers' comp, umbrella policies for maximum protection, and of course, auto, home, renter's insurance. Also offering DMV services for your title transfers and renewing registration. With Narvaez Insurance Services, you can avoid the long lines at the DMV. Contact Narvaez Insurance Services for a competitive quote by calling 707-927-3204. Give Bernie Narvaez a call at 707-927-3204.
Things Napa. That was really interesting talking to Julie. I learned so much, didn't you?
We could go on for a couple of hours with Julie.
A couple of hours, yes.
Thank you.
And Julie's still here. Isn't that great? So she's going to hang out with us while we talk to the lovely Christine McMillan. Tell us what Christine McMillan does.
Oh, she's a busy girl. So, I am an event planner, so there's always three or four or five different events that I'm working on at one time, and I work with small wineries under 1,000 cases and do consulting with them and help with DTC, which is direct-to-consumer sales. And
industry lingo there.
Right, our little winery lingo. Just small, really small wineries that are, and they tend to think, oh, I need to sell all this wine I made, and my friends will buy it, and then their friends don't buy all of the wine.
Well, because if they're friends, they're expecting to get the wine,
well,
not buy
that,
the wine.
But if it's a $100 bottle of wine and their friends are beer drinkers, then it becomes an issue. So then they end up with all this wine that they need to get rid of, and they need to sell it somehow, so they do it on the wholesale market, which you only get 50% of the of the cost of it. So then you're don't have a lot of money left for buying barrels that year. So I'm helping with that and finding ways to sell the wine in a direct-to-consumer way instead of wholesale, and getting relationships started so that people can meet and get those things done.
So those winery clients of yours, they tend to be the real small wineries.
Under 1,000 cases, sometimes very under 1,000 cases. So.
Very under.
Very
That's
under.
A technical term. We can't get into that.
Yeah, it's, me and Matt.
Yeah, take too long.
That's right. So, but there's, you know, I have six or seven of those that I work with at any given time. And I plan events all year long. I have a couple that are a regular event every year. I'm also an MC for several foot races. So I like a microphone. So
you and me both.
Yeah, I know. So we should just walk around with microphones all the time. So I have,
even though they're not plugged into anything.
Right, no, just so I feel comfortable. I'm happy with the microphones. I just walk around.
I know. To me, a microphone is like a teddy bear.
Do you remember that commercial from the 70s, the Mr. Microphone?
Yeah.
So anyway,
at our event last night, to sidetrack just a little bit, you know, all of the members of Napa Business Advantage donate a prize of somewhere in the $50 range, and then we put those into lots, and that becomes our raffle items. Well, somebody came in with a karaoke microphone. Get this, it's a Bluetooth microphone that connects to the speakers in your car. So your own James Corden while you're driving.
See, I don't even know if I need one in my car because I sing at the top of my lungs in my car.
Oh, I know, but just...
And who... No one wants to hear that, so
I know, but
would just make
our affinity for microphones, we would just... Maybe we would sound better.
Oh, see, in my mind, I sound amazing. I have no idea what I sound like to the rest of you.
You just admitted that you don't, so... Stop being delusional.
I don't think anybody wants to hear it, but
Dr.
in my
Julie,
mind, I sound
awesome.
Dr.
Julie, she's delusional. She can't sing, and she knows it, but says she's backpedaling now. No, but, what do we do for that?
What I hear is great, but I don't think what you hear is anything near what I hear. You know I have really bad ears, right?
Right. We both do. Between the two of us, we got one ear, one good ear.
One good ear.
Yeah.
So. Total.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm always making up some
event. I don't
even
remember what we were talking about.
We're talking about events. So you know, because you've been, I do an event every year for prostate cancer, and it's a fundraiser foot race. It's a 5K and 10K in September. And so this year we decided to add another event that was for the non-runners. So, good. Yeah. So
something for Lee.
Right. So this is for the drinkers. Instead of the runner.
Talking about toxins.
Right, exactly. So the day after my event, I'm going to send a lot of people to you. I had this idea that I walked into the Napa Valley Distillery over on Stockton Street, and it's this really cool looking brick two-story building, and they make all the, you know, spirits in there, and it just, and the way it's decorated, it just spoke to me of Great Gatsby and the Roaring Twenties.
Did it speak easy to you?
It spoke easy. past tense of speakeasy. So
spoke easy.
So I wanted to do another event for zero prostate cancer. So I thought, well, why not do a speakeasy kind of event here, because it just, now I had this idea in 2019, and I thought, well, we'll just do that next year, right? You know, next year in the 20. Well, I didn't think about the fact that everyone else is having the same idea. I had an original thought, but it was the same original thought other people are having. So everyone is having these 20 Roaring Twenties parties, which is not a bad thing because everyone will have a dress already by the time my event comes up. So
I don't have a dress.
Oh, you know, you've got a flapper dress in there somewhere. So
that's a pretty big flapper dress.
And there's commercials on Facebook all the time. Here's a flapper dress. I'm like, see, look, they're everywhere. It's easy to find. So So we're having a speakeasy event on April 25th at the distillery from 6:30 to 10. And I've got 16 wineries pouring.
Holy moly. The irony, 16 wineries pouring at a distillery.
And there will also be spirits there.
We have
four restaurants that will be serving food. So it'll be kind of a walk around dinner, not a sit down dinner. And there are four different restaurants.
Just like me at home.
Yeah. It's like the calories don't count if you're standing or if you're looking in the fridge as you do it. So the restaurants are Hop Creek, Farmstead, and Tarla, of course, and Celadon. And I'm looking for a fifth. I'd really like to have five restaurants, but they're each going to bring small portions of a main course that kind of epitomizes their restaurant. And so you'll go around to each one and get a nice dose of of an entree.
Oh, did you say the dose just
nice
because
dose.
Julie's here?
That might be why. And then go around and have different wine from different wineries. And then there's going to be a signature cocktail that the distillery is going to have for us that night as well. We have a DJ Boca, and there will be dancing. There will be a silent auction, which I, at this point, have 110 items.
Holy moly.
In that, and really fun, different things. And we have a live auction. So the live auction.
Oh, you put the live auction in there just so you could have.
So I could auctioneer.
With a microphone.
Exactly. See,
it's your event. I think
Lee knows
I should be the auctioneer.
Oh, well, you can help me too.
Okay.
We'll take turns if
Do we have to wrestle for the microphone or do we have two microphones?
Then I could say mud would be involved, but yeah.
So
just kidding. No mud wrestling in my
Let's back up a little
outfit.
Bit because you talked about what you do in helping micro wineries increase their direct-to-consumer sales.
Correct.
And then all of a sudden we're talking about this. So
and then I do a lot of event planning for nonprofits, the nonprofit that I'm very involved in, as well as others. So last year I was here talking about the Mexican American Vintners Association. I did their big event last August.
And I volunteered
talking
for that.
About, yes, you did. And then the race that I do in September for Zero Prostate Cancer, the Mentis event, which was supposed to be this weekend, but we have, because of the coronavirus and people not wanting to gather in large groups, have changed that date to October 24th. My event is on April 25th, and it's the same day as the Hall Winery Cab Cook-Off. And so I'm just kind of going to follow their lead. If they cancel, then I'll postpone mine. But the everything that's done for my event, if we have to change the date, it keeps. So there's nothing, that's right. going to expire. So
no need for ticket reimbursements or anything.
Yeah, we'll pick another date if we have to. I'm hoping that things will go well and we can do that. But, get your ticket now and you'll have it for if it's now or later.
And who knows, maybe prices will increase.
Well, and that's the thing. I'm trying to keep the price low on the tickets. They're $75 a person, so you've got dinner, and you don't have to buy anything once you're there except for silent auction and live auction items.
Right, and $75 for that's really cheap.
For dinner and drinks, yes. You can't go to many restaurants around here and do for $75 a person, at least not around here.
Right.
So it's a deal because I want you to feel like, hey, I didn't spend that much to get here. So let's spend some money on the live auction and the silent auction.
Right.
And there's a lot of amazing things in there. So things that I want that are sitting in my spare room. So, restaurant certificates and golf and spa and wine. I've got wine coming out of my ears. So there's a lot of wine at my house right now.
Well, there typically is.
Well, that in addition to.
Right, in addition to your
own. In addition
own.
To, right. So, yeah.
So tell us, we're doing things just winging backwards or whatever. So tell us about your affinity to Napa and how long you've been here.
We moved here, this July will be 10 years that my husband and I brought our children and moved here from Florida and gave up being in the restaurant business and standing all the time. And now I sit and work, so it's kind of cool.
It's all
except for my events, but
all going to even out throughout your life.
Yeah,
all years and years of standing in a restaurant.
Yes, so
two
I still get to.
Right?
We had three restaurants in Florida, and before that, we had one in Plano, Texas. So
okay,
yeah, I can talk any state because I've lived in so many of them. So
right. So. Sold the restaurants, decided you were ready for a change, and how did Napa become the target?
We would come here to visit at least once a year to taste wine and get to know the wineries that we were selling in our restaurant. So the big ones and the little tiny ones. So we've always, we were a mom and pop fine dining restaurant. So we wanted to support the mom and pop wine,
the
little guys.
Right.
And so we would come out and get to know the stories. And then when we sold the wine at the restaurant, we're like, hey, so this is, name the wine vintners' names and their kids and their cat and their, and their story of how they got started in the wine business and tell the whole story about the brand. And so you were hand selling these tiny wineries, and the recession was not fun. Florida was not doing well. Everyone we knew was short selling their house, and it's just a bad time. And fine dining is one of the first things you take off your list to do.
Yeah, you think?
So it was a tough time, and the restaurant business is tough to begin with.
Right.
And we were exhausted. And
then you came to Napa to visit, and you were just
impressed
with this vibe.
Yeah, we were visiting for all the time and fell in love with it and had friends here, winemakers that we had met, and they would come to Florida and do wine dinners with us. And so we thought, where's the one place we could go and be successful with the skills that we have and during this economy? And so we both kind of went Napa at the same time and poured a drink for each of us and said, let's go ask the kids.
And how long ago was that?
Yeah, it was Father's Day 2010. And then we were here July 31st.
Wow.
So we made the decision and did it.
Michael got Napa for Father's Day. Yeah, try and top that.
Well, he got a green egg a couple Father's Days ago, so.
I wonder how many people are like, what the heck is she talking about?
What is a green egg? Right. It's a cult. You need to get into it.
Yeah,
find it. Yeah.
It is.
It's the most amazing barbecue ever. Free commercial for green egg. So the thing is awesome.
So your business has continued to grow from kind of transitioning into helping those small wineries, and then now you're doing more and more events. The biggest event, obviously, or the biggest cause that you support with your events, obviously, is prostate cancer.
Right.
Why prostate cancer versus any other?
So I just assumed everyone knew I was involved in this, and a couple people recently was like, why do you do so much for that group? And I'm like, well, my grandfather died of prostate cancer in 1997. And he only ever got to meet my son when he was 1 year old. And wow. I have a picture of them on that one and only meeting. Several of my uncles have had prostate cancer already. And in 2013, we got a call from my mother-in-law that both my father-in-law and brother-in-law had prostate cancer.
Wow.
In January of 2013. And we called a friend and who's an oncologist and said, who's in Florida, and said, make sure that they have the best care possible. And so he said, yeah, they are. Get Michael tested. And he was 51 at the time. And he didn't even have a baseline. We'd never had him tested. Didn't have his PSA level. And he had a very aggressive kind. And by July, he was in surgery having a prostatectomy.
Wow.
And he had a very aggressive one that, had we not caught it, I attribute him being alive to his brother and dad and our friend. So Dr. Tom, so they saved him and we wouldn't have known.
Right.
And so, yeah, I'm very, very happy to have my husband here. And I have a 23-year-old son. And I know that he's going to be faced with this at some point. So kind of my goal in life is to get as much money into research as possible. I just returned from Washington, D.C., where I was at a conference for prostate cancer, listening to a lot of doctors who are researchers about what they're doing. And one of the most fascinating things I learned is that the BRCA gene that women are checking to see if they have breast cancer, that the men have that similar thing, and that a lot of the breast cancer research is also helping prostate cancer and vice versa. So I thought that was really exciting. So it's, even when I'm raising money for prostate cancer, I'm still helping women too.
Right. And
I want to save everyone, the men and the women.
To a certain extent, then, all the breast cancer research funds are kind of sort of they're not commingled, but the research is complementary.
Oh, no, the research is very separate, but the results are helping both.
Okay.
So put it that way. It was just a really interesting conference listening to all of this. And then we went to Capitol Hill and said, so the funding of prostate cancer is through the Department of Defense. I know.
What?
Let your mind soak that in for a second. That's how it works. So we went to Capitol Hill and talked to everybody and said, hey, this is our story. This is why we're involved in prostate cancer and why we want more money for research, and try to convince them to give the, you know, $10 million a year or whatever it is to researchers and finding super smart people and getting them to fix this. So when this happened and Michael said the C word to me, that, you know, I've got cancer, after being numb for a couple of weeks, it's like, what can I do? And I'm not a doctor. I've never even taken many science classes, so I can't fix it. But what I can do is use my gifts, and my gifts lie in event planning. And I can try and help by raising money, getting people together and making sure men know to get their PSA level, simple blood test. There's also a physical test you have to do, but get over it. Women do it every year.
And they call it a digital exam.
It is. And it takes about 3 seconds. So, if that,
not a pleasant 3 seconds,
no.
but important.
Important.
Although, you know, I am a man, in case you didn't know that.
I think I knew that.
And I'm with Kaiser, and they don't do that anymore unless your PSA levels are off kilter.
That's because the PSA is a better measure than a digital rectal exam.
And I've been told by the doctors at St. Helena Hospital that they won't. I said, let's do, so I had a friend who worked at a car dealership. He goes, let's give everybody a free PSA and free exam. And the doctors all said, we can't do, and I think this is insurance and liability, we can't do the PSAs without the digital exam. And nobody wanted to do that in the middle of the car dealership.
If you do both, to measure the PSA first, because actually doing a digital rectal exam can increase the PSA.
So they would do the test first and then the PSA and then the digital exam.
The blood test for the PSA first. Yes.
Just on an interim basis and then it settles. Okay.
Huh. I did not know that.
That's very interesting.
Still learning.
It's a good thing that Dr. Julie stayed here.
I know. I was hoping she would.
You know, one of the reasons that the prostate is so susceptible is because it is a hollow organ, and because of its placement, you know, in terms of gravity, it tends to collect toxins.
Oh, okay.
So that's one of the reasons, aside from genetic predispositions, why it tends to be a vulnerable organ.
Hmm. Very interesting.
And most men are, if they live long enough, will probably end up with it. But if you're in your 80s or 90s, they'll do a different thing than if you're younger. And it depends on which one and how aggressive it is.
Right. BPH, the benign prostatic hyperplasia, is extremely common. And we're finding that it's much more common in younger men than ever before.
Okay. And they say you don't need to get tested until you're 50. But with my son being so obviously going to have to deal with it, I'd like to get him tested at 35 and 45.
And he's 23?
He's 23.
I'm surprised mom hasn't had him, you know, drug him in by his ear.
No. There are occasions where there have been very, very young kids, boys that have had prostate cancer. So it's not that it could not happen. It's just more likely later. And it's, if caught early, very high rate of living, but if you don't catch it and you don't screen and you don't do it, then not. So, there's three sisters that I started the race with that their dad was diagnosed at fourth stage. And so he didn't make it. He lived another year and a half or so. So we started the race in 13. So somebody on next door said, hey, my granddaughters are putting together this race for prostate cancer. I'm like, yay, I can help. And so I showed up and they're like, who is this chick? And I'm like, I'm an event planner. I'm going to help make your event even better. And they're like, okay, she's got a lot of energy. What do we do with her? So, and we've been friends ever since. So, father was at the first race, and then the next year he died on Father's Day, things. And our race was in memoriam for him, Mr. Mehmet, very, very nice man. And so their whole family has been there every year since, helping out, all three daughters. And it's been sweet watching them. When they first started, two were married, and now they're all three married, and there's babies everywhere. Watching the family grow, and so it's been really sweet. And there's a lot of other people involved. And the other interesting thing is that everybody on my committee is female. So my committee is made up of women. We talk about problems and we discuss things, and we're the ones that go around talking to men about their PSA levels, and the men just quietly go, yeah, I've got that.
And I mean, so your committee, all female, is that's just kind of a coincidence? Or, I mean, you would take help you can get, probably. But
oh, I'm not opposed to men being on the committee. Right. I would love to have men on the committee. And I've had one or two come by and help out for a little while. But the women are just in it. We want to save the guys. And so we're the ones that talk about it all the time. And just men aren't sharers when it comes to that kind of thing.
Let's talk
baseball or whatever. Right. And I'm like, no, how's your prostate?
Anything where we don't have to talk about our feelings.
Right.
Or your
organs.
Right. Well, obviously the opposite is not true on most breast cancer fundraiser things. It's not like it's men dominating the committees on those things. I think women are just better organizers in general.
I don't know. I mean, there are men event planners, but but for whatever reason, it's I think it's just females tend to like to talk about it and help.
Women tend to be the caretakers.
Yeah.
I would say the majority of my patient practice is women. Mm-hmm. And if there is a man that comes to see me, it's because a woman made him do it.
Right. Yeah. That tracks.
We are talking to Christine McMillan, and I really appreciate her sharing her personal story and why she is so enthusiastic about raising funds for Zero Prostate Cancer. And, you know, we just want to reiterate the April 25th event, only $75, and all you can eat, all you can drink, and plenty of wonderful auction items and raffle items. Christine, go ahead and share your information so that if anyone wants to help and or if they want to buy tickets, there's an option for that.
So if you go to zerocancer.org/speakeasy, you can get tickets. They're on Eventbrite too. It's listed on Eventbrite, but there's no fees if you go through the zerocancer.org /speakeasy. If you want to call and want to find out, text me or call me, 707-927-8108. If you have an event you need me to play in, or if you want to attend one of mine, or have a question, or want to help with fundraising for the races, I'd love to talk to you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Dr. Julie. Thank you so much, Christine. We are going to wrap at that, and this has been another wonderful edition of All Things Napa. I am Lee W. Miller. Reach out to me at leewmiller@gmail.com. And remember to live each day of your life as if your legacy matters, because it does.